Well, today's Holy Gospel brings us to another one of my most favorite places on the face of this earth, and that's the Sea of Galilee. I could just close my eyes and I'm there. Having been there twice, it is an indelible mark on my heart and my mind. Being able to look out at that sea, knowing that Jesus stood on the very shore of the Sea of Galilee, which is also known as the Sea of Tiberias, or Lake Tiberias, or even the Lake of Gennesaret. Gennesaret means harp. And if you were to look at a satellite image, it does look like an ancient harp. It's certainly indescribable. In many spots, it remains mostly unchanged, even to today. Well, Jesus meets two sets of brothers, our beloved St. Andrew and Peter, and then James and John. These four men are fishermen, making their livelihood from catching fish. Well, Jesus tells them to leave everything and that they should come and follow him, and he will make them fishers of men. There would be a great transformation that would take place in their lives, a transformation from fishermen ultimately to shepherds. It's a great difference between catching and keeping, and that's the difference between a fisherman and a shepherd. The transformation would take the better part of 3 years to happen. Follow me is a call to service. And it's no small thing to give up everything to follow Jesus. To follow Christ is setting aside our own goals and pleasures and grasping onto the purposes for which God Almighty created us. And those purposes are to know him in a personal way, to make disciples of others by teaching them all of Christ's commands. All those who truly follow Christ must exchange their affections, goals, and priorities for his. When Jesus called Peter and Andrew, their goal had been to be successful fishermen. But in asking them to forsake that goal, he commanded them to follow him, and he would make them fishers of men's souls. Jesus didn't simply command his disciples to become fishers of men, but rather he promised to make them fishers of men. Jesus doesn't hit a switch and suddenly we're something. He transforms us, he carries us, he nurtures us, just as he did those apostles. So how does fishing for men relate to following Christ? To us, a fisherman is someone with a fishing pole, maybe in hip boots, casting a lure into the waters of a stream or a lake. But that's not the case when Jesus walked the earth, when he called his disciples. They caught fish with nets. And experience told them that the best way to catch fish was at night. And we know this is true because in Luke 5:5, Jesus told Peter to cast his nets on the other side of the boat. And Peter said, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." How did they fish at night? They used a very powerful and effective method of attracting fish. Light. Fish are attracted to light. And Jesus uses the same effective method to draw people to himself. John tells us what Jesus said. "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." John 8:12. Well, just as fish are attracted to the disciples' light, God wants people to be drawn to his light shining through his people. The light of every believer is the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ in our lives and what he has done to transform us. I think you'll agree that there's not a person in here is the same person as they were before they met Jesus, no matter what age you were when you found Jesus. He cleans us up pretty well, you must admit. The light of every believer is the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ shining through in our lives, the things we think, we do, and we say. And Paul declared this in his second letter to the Corinthians. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 6 and 7. To follow Jesus is a call that required complete and immediate attachment from everything else. Peter and Andrew left their boat, suggesting that they walked away from their occupation. James and John left their father, suggesting that following Christ takes priority over even being physically away from our family. The requirements for following Jesus is not the same for everybody. For some people, it means leaving their current occupation to follow him. And for others, it might mean a willingness to leave family connections and being close to family. My wife and kids and I know what both of these things are like as we transplanted from occupation and family to serve Jesus in his church. For everyone, it's a willingness to exchange their affections, connections, goals, and priorities for those of Jesus. Now, please don't understand me. The worst thing in life may not be that we fail. The greatest failures happen when we succeed in areas that are not God's will for our lives and are not true to the clear teaching of the Holy Scriptures. A success that keeps us from pursuing God's real plan for our lives. So let me put it to you this way. The worst thing in life is not failing, but succeeding in a worldly endeavor, having left Christ out of our lives. So what's the single most important thing that we can do as Christians? You know, when we know that somebody is dying, one of the first questions that runs through many of our minds is, are they saved? What this should remind us of is what really matters in life. And that's that we're most concerned about at death, whether or not people know Jesus Christ. When someone is dying, nothing else really matters, does it? I want to suggest to you that that question should be on our hearts and minds long before our friend is on their final approach to meet the Lord. It should be a priority in our lives to make sure that they know and love Jesus. There have been times in the life of every Christian when they recognized that the greatest thing they could do in this life was introduce someone else to Christ. We don't do the saving. Just like when you plant a seed, you don't break open the kernel and make it grow. You can water it, you can nourish it, you can do all those things, but it's the Holy Spirit that breaks open and makes that grow. We don't do the saving, but we can be like Andrew, who introduced his brother, Peter, to Jesus. And we can introduce our friends and family to him as well. I wonder, have you ever stopped to realize that Jesus wants you to be someone whose heart is moved to reach out to lost people around you? So in order to accomplish this goal in life, the question is, are you willing to lay aside your personal ambition and plans in order to fully follow Christ? To better reflect the light of Christ to those around you in your words and your actions? Are you willing to look for and take opportunities to share with others what Jesus has done for you? On a mountain in Galilee, shortly before Jesus would go with the disciples back to Jerusalem and ascend to the Father, he told the disciples that he's been given all authority in heaven and earth. And so he commissions believers with these words from Matthew 28:19 and 20. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. In closing, besides telling us what to go and do on his behalf, he's also telling us that we're not doing this alone. This is called the Great Commission. But I think that through those words, "and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age," Jesus is reminding us that we're not doing this alone. We're on a co-mission, right alongside Jesus Christ himself. We can then look at these words that Jesus said with a new eye and a renewed meaning and transformed hearts. "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.